Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, Daddy Soda time, and we are talking about the running backs. We've heard Fran, and of course I'm talking to Fran Duffy of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm Ross Tucker. You can follow Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker, NFL. Cannot wait, Fran, to get to your Daddy Soda categories for this group. But we've heard so long that this was going to be one of the best running back classes in a long time. Do you think it is? I mean, is that, when you look at this class, you think it's that good?
Yeah, I think it's certainly one of the best running back groups we've seen in recent memory. I mean, you're talking about a class that's got Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook. You know, some of these guys are considered to be blue chip type prospects. I don't think that. Some of these names, Deontay Foreman from Texas, I think is a little bit overrated. I think Kamara from Tennessee is getting a little bit more love than he might deserve. And some of these other players kind of fell off a little bit. We saw Nick Chubb go back to school. I didn't mention Christian McCaffrey. I think he's a blue chip player as well. I think he, Fournette, and Cook are kind of the class prospects in this group overall. It's a really good class, and there's a lot of different flavors too, depending on what your team wants, depending on what your team needs and how they run their scheme. I think you could find what you need in this group.
You mentioned Foreman. What do you think of Samaje Perine?
I like Perine more than Foreman. You know, 5'10", 235 pounds. You know, Perine is a guy that when you watch him, you can't help but see shades of like a Jerome Bettis. You know, even what people thought Jeremy Hill would be coming out of LSU, that vision, that toughness. You know, the guy, the tacklers are just bouncing off of Perine. He's like a runaway train in the open field. Really hard to bring down. It takes a village to get this guy to the ground. Competitive. To me, remember last year we talked about Derrick Henry, and there were times where I didn't think Derrick Henry ran as hard as his size would indicate. That is the opposite with Perine. I think he runs huge. He is huge, but he runs huge. I think he's got just enough athleticism to be, you know, potentially even a feature back at the next level in the right situation as an eye back in a ball control offense.
Love it. Well, rather than asking you questions about guys, why don't we get into your categories? Daddy Soda time.
Daddy Sodas.
All right, Fran, it's our favorite time of the year, and it's our favorite segment, Daddy Soda time, where I ask you some questions, and you give me your answers based on hundreds upon hundreds of hours of tape study. Probably my favorite question to ask you is just who your favorite guy is to watch on film and why.
Well, Ross, obviously, you know, Leonard Fournette, for a lot of reasons, is my number one back. We've got that size. The speed combination is rare for a guy that big. I love his burst. I love his competitive nature as a runner. He forces missed tackles at a pretty high rate. He's got the ability to carry the load for an NFL offense. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, could he be is he more of an eye back, you know, with a fullback? Can he be in a one back set? I think he could fit in any kind of scheme. I'm really, really a big fan of Leonard Fournette. And then also the guy that I think everybody knows at this point, I'm probably higher on than most in the media, is Devion Smith from Michigan, 5'10", 220 pounds. In ways similar to Fournette, his physical style, you know, his competitiveness, his natural power. I think their vision is pretty comparable. Obviously, Smith is not that level of athlete that Fournette is, and that's the big difference for me when watching him. I do think, though, that Smith is probably a better blocker than Fournette is at this stage, so there's a little bit of give and take. I don't think Devion Smith is going to be a first or a second-round pick, but I do think that he's got the ability to come in as a mid-round selection and make a team as a quality number two and potentially even a spot starter, much like a LeGarrette Blount has been for the New England Patriots throughout his career.
You love Devion Smith.
Yes, correct.
I love when you have guys that you love, because now I will follow his career and I will track him and I will hope that he does well, because that's good for the College Draft podcast. Because you've got different guys that you're high on, that you, Nate Peterman's another one. You seem to have at least one guy in every at every position group. So it is Devion Smith at running back. I love it. I love it. And I like that you like Fournette is fun to watch for sure. How about a guy that's underrated by the media?
Well, you may remember, Ross, back last spring, early summer, when we were going through all the running backs, and I actually said, before I watched Davion Smith and you know, fell head over heels in love with Davion Smith, I said that Justin Davis was my number one senior running back this year. And for a lot of reasons, you know, at 6'5", 198 pounds. We'll see what the official measurement is at the combine. But Davis kind of reminds me, from a physical standpoint, you know, from a body type and just kind of the way he runs, in some ways to a Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, I loved coming out of Michigan State, was a top 50 pick, top 40 pick. I don't think Davis is going to go that high. I'm not saying he's that quality of prospect. But I think Davis is a really natural runner between the tackles. He's another guy who's got a competitive nature to him. My big thing with him was he too often went down on first contact, and I wanted to see him get a little bit better as a blocker this year. But with me, Davis is a guy that I think is really flying under the radar. Was set to go to the Shrine Game but had to pull out last minute because of an injury. I was surprised that he was not at the Senior Bowl. I like Justin Davis a lot, certainly a little bit more than I would think most of the media.
All right, so how about a guy or two that you like, but there's something about him that scares you?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit lower on Alvin Kamara than most people. They're the back out of Tennessee, a junior, 5'10", 215 pounds. Look, he's really, really talented. You know, his athletic ability, his abilities as a receiver, I think he could step into the NFL right now and play the role that, say, a Tevin Coleman did for the Atlanta Falcons this year, is kind of that number two back that you could move all around the formation and ask to do all kinds of things. He did that at Tennessee. He lined up in the slot and ran slants and ran digs and sluggos. He could do those kinds of things for an NFL offense. I do like that this year he showed improved contact balance. So when he was taking hits below the waist and you know, getting arm tackles, he was running through that initial contact. And I liked that more from him this past season as a junior. That being said, he's never once carried the ball more than 20 times in a game. He's never really been asked to be the feature back. He only started 8 games throughout his college career. You remember, he did not start his career at Tennessee. He began his career at Alabama, was suspended twice there, left the team, went to junior college, then went to Tennessee. So what's the deal there with his background? What kind of guy are you getting? All the quotes coming out of the Tennessee program since he arrived there, you know, in Knoxville, have been nothing but great. You know, you would think he was a Boy Scout. Butch Jones said he became a leader on offense from the day he stepped on campus. He was a captain this year as a junior. So you like the supposed turnaround, but you want to make sure that all that checks out. So there are some things with Alvin Kamara that worry me, including his vision and things like that. But you want to make sure that he checks out off the field. So that's why he scares me a little bit. And the second guy is Marlon Mack. You know, Marlon Mack, I think, a lot of people believe to be a really true sleeper in this class, and I do agree to a point. But one of the things that scares me a lot with Mack is too many negative runs. You know, you see a guy that dances a lot in the backfield, a guy that too often tries to cut back against the grain, and that was a thing that really kind of bothered me watching him. Came off a little bit soft as a runner. It's a little bit soft in pass protection. So I see a guy with good length. I usually like those long running backs with burst. You know, I think back to like an Alfred Blue, a Latavius Murray. Mack is kind of one of those guys. He's 6 foot, 210 pounds. I think he's probably going to run in the 4.4 range, which is really impressive for a guy that big. I think his speed and burst in a straight line is really, really impressive. But there are some things I really want to see improve here from Mack before I count him as a guy like a Justin Davis, or a potential number one or even number two back in the NFL.
All right, give me a guy that you feel really good about. He's the safest player. You know what you're getting with this guy.
I think whenever we talk about these safe players, we're really talking about what is a guy's floor. And to me, I think Christian McCaffrey, you could plug into the NFL and know for a fact that he could play the role as a Danny Woodhead, as a Theo Riddick, as, you know, I mentioned Tevin Coleman earlier, as that number two guy that can do all kinds of things out of the backfield and can be a bit of a matchup guy on third down and run those Texas routes out of the backfield. You know, Christian McCaffrey can step in the NFL and be that guy. So, and those guys are valuable in an NFL offense. Now, you might be able to find that guy later. You don't necessarily need to spend a first or a second round pick on that guy, but I think you feel pretty good that Christian McCaffrey has that floor. I just also happen to think that he's going to reach that ceiling of being a potential feature back in an NFL offense. You know, there's comparisons to Brian Westbrook. That's a guy that I threw out early in the fall as well. I see that when I watch Christian McCaffrey at 6 foot, 205 pounds right now is what he's listed. We'll see what he comes in at the combine. Hopefully he's a little bit closer to the 210, 212 range. I think McCaffrey can be a guy that can touch the ball 18 to 20 times in a game, whether it's as a runner or as a receiver, and be that feature back in a pass-heavy offense. I think McCaffrey can be that guy.
I like it. All right, give me a guy that – we talk about this really at every position group, a guy that you feel like is scheme-specific.
Yeah, I think that guy for me is Elijah Hood from North Carolina, a junior who declared first he was going to stay in school, then he decided to come out, 6 foot, 220 pounds. My big thing with Hood is, you know, when I watched him, I didn't see the athletic ability. I didn't see the burst in a short area that make me think, yeah, you know what, this guy is a shoe-in to be a starter in any scheme. I do like his contact balance. I do think he's got really good vision. So I do think that he's a really good fit in a zone scheme, you know, and they played primarily gap concepts there with North Carolina. So power, counter, trap. You saw a lot of that with Elijah Hood in North Carolina. But in a zone scheme, you don't necessarily need that burst. You don't necessarily need that athletic ability. You more can rely on your vision, your ability to key and diagnose what you're seeing with the defense and how their blocks are setting up. And then you stick your foot in the ground and get downhill. I think Elijah Hood can be that kind of ball carrier. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he kind of took the route of an Alfred Morris. You know, coming out of an FAU, Morris was drafted in the sixth round by the Washington Redskins, kind of an afterthought, and he became a starter as a rookie and had a really productive career early in his career with Washington. I think Hood can be that kind of guy. I just think he's going to need the right kind of scheme.
It's funny, you know, so many of these guys, Fran, Hood and the next guy we might talk about, and even a guy like Nick Chubb. I saw all these guys at the U.S. Army Bowl, you know, 3 years ago. And it's just amazing. McCaffrey. I mean, the running backs in that game were McCaffrey, Hood, Chubb, and a guy that I think might be your day three gem. This is not exactly rocket science. Give me your day three gem. Probably everybody's day three gem.
Yeah, and that guy's Joe Mixon. And we'll see if he does go on day three. We'll see if he goes before that. We'll see if he goes after that. No one really knows at this point. I think it's kind of speculation. But 6'1", 226 pounds. Mixon's probably one of the top five running backs in this class based on talent alone. I say probably. He is one of the most talented running backs in this class based purely on physical talent. You love his athletic ability. You love his ability as a receiver. You know, the big thing is the off-field, and rightfully so, for what happened a couple years ago out there. Norman, I think that's a really big issue that every team is going to have to make their individual decision on. But regardless of what happens, I think that Mixon has the physical ability that once he gets into the NFL, he could turn into the steal of the draft. And it's kind of a lottery ticket from that standpoint. Obviously, he still needs to make that transition from the college game to the NFL. You worry about how physical he is between the tackles. Can he be a feature back, or is he more of that Robin to a Batman? That's the question for Joe Mixon on the field. But that's going to be the big thing. I think that Joe Mixon is going to be seen by most people. Yeah, like you said, as their day three guy.
Where would he go, Fran, if there was absolutely no off-field concerns? Like, where would you put him amongst the elite of the elite, and do you think he goes in the first round?
I think that if you would put him, let's say he was squeaky clean off the field, let's say he was, you know, if he was Leonard Fournette, I think that you're probably talking about him as a top 50 guy. I don't know that he's above Leonard Fournette, to be honest. I don't know that. I mean, I think he'd probably be on par of what we're talking about with a Dalvin Cook, me personally. I think that Mixon, the big thing with me when I watch him on the field is that at best, I would say his vision is solid. He's not an overly instinctive runner. I've watched two games. I think he's not an overly instinctive runner from what I've seen. I think there are times where he looks patient, but then there are other times where I think he's indecisive and he kind of toes that line, you know, and that's the big thing with me when I watch him is, does he see things as quickly as he should? Does he anticipate things opening up at the line of scrimmage? A lot of people like to say, does he see the forest through the trees? That was my question with Mixon when watching him. I wasn't sure that he was always the most physical back either between the tackles. And then also in pass protection, I wanted to see him be a little bit better than he was, although I do think he's an excellent receiver. So he does bring third down value from that aspect.
All right, 3-for-1. The new category you invented last week that I still don't remember what the category means.
So it's just going to go rapid fire here. And three guys that we didn't get a chance to really hit on so far, but I think are worth talking about. And the first guy is Kareem Hunt. You know, came in a little bit lighter than people thought at the Senior Bowl. He was listed in the 220s, 230s, came in at 208, 5'10 and a half. Really play. What I was most impressed with Hunt this past season was his creativity, his balance, his vision, his decisiveness. I think that he's gotten a little bit better on third down throughout his career. He's still not where he needs to be right now as a blocker, but I do think he's got feature back traits at the next level as long as he can check out off the field. Next up, I would talk about James Conner. One of the best stories in college football, came back from lymphoma and a torn ACL in 2015 to be one of the biggest lightning rods for that Pitt Panther offense this year, playing next to Nate Peterman, 6'2", 235 pounds. Love his size, love his strength inside. The more I watched him this year, and I watched a few games from this year, he started a little bit slow with his eyes. You know, I thought, oh, man, he's not really seeing things as clearly as he did earlier in his career. But as you continue to watch, you watch that Clemson game, which is about halfway through. You watch some of those games later in the season, and you start to see a little bit more of the guy that we saw back in 2014, where he was really decisive, really just has a good feel for running between the tackles. He's not a top-level athlete. He doesn't bring a ton of third-down value right now, both athletically as a pass catcher or even as a blocker. I do want to see him get better as a blocker, especially for his size. That's why some people think, oh, yeah, he's going to be a fullback. He's not a good enough blocker right now. To say that he's going to be a fullback. So to me, he kind of reminds me of a guy like Peyton Hillis, who's that short yardage guy who, you know, might be a flash in a pan as having a big year in the NFL. But overall, I think Connor profiles best as that change of pace, short yardage type option. And then lastly, TJ Logan. I talked about Elijah Hood earlier. TJ Logan, who's another back there at UNC, only started 15 games throughout his career, and most of them came early in his career. A little bit smaller, 5'9", 195, explosive, really impressive burst, his speed. He was a great kick returner at UNC. The question with him is his size and his strength inside. I don't think he's ever going to be a feature back, but I think Logan is definitely worth talking about in this class as kind of a change of pace, flex option, a player that can be lined up in a couple different positions in the formation and make an impact in the passing game.
Got it. Love it. I love 3-for-1, and that'll do it for us for this week's College Draft Podcast, breaking down the running backs. Beyond fired up, out of my skin right now for next week's podcast, because number one, we're going to preview the combine, and number two, we are breaking down the offensive line. And yes, I have watched the top five offensive tackles for you tackle needy teams out there. And I don't care what Fran says. I really don't care what anybody else says. I'll just tell you what I think based on what I saw for the offensive linemen next week. You can always catch Fran on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Not just Eagles, but about all 22 players in the sport from a bunch of different games, bunch of different teams. Make sure you're following us on Twitter. I am at Ross Tucker NFL. He's the better guy to follow for this draft stuff, at FDuffy3. And, of course, you want to make sure you know right when this podcast is posted. Follow our trusty producer, Brian, at RTF Podcast. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.